welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. My guest is Mr. Pardee Kalika, and he is the executive director of the Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee. You know, man, are you the first? I know you got to be the first Indian that ever sat there, but are you the first minority that has ever been in that position?
I am, yeah, the first minority, the first non-Christian to ever be executive director of the Interfaith Conference. And again, I give it up to the board and really everyone having that trust to say, hey, let's embrace who he is, and they definitely do.
Yeah, well, you know, I wanted to talk with you a little bit now about, you know, politics and faith and religion. And, you know, I at times always get confused at people who want to mix politics and faith. And, you know, in the faith books that I know about and have read about, there's not a whole lot in there based on judgments of people, right? Mm-hmm. Judge ye not, lest ye be judged, is at the root of the Bible and Christianity. Mm-hmm. We should not judge others because we carry our own burdens in the society, in the life. So who am I to point my finger at somebody else? And we're all sinners. Yeah. So with that being said, then that should end any opportunity for me to think that I'm in a position to point my finger at someone else. But right now, mm-hmm. more so than ever in my 67 years of living, man, politics and religion, they're right there together.
They are, yeah.
And you got to walk a real tightrope.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about
that. Yeah, yeah. You know, you reminded me of, in India, there was a phenomenal woman who lived there, and she lived in Calcutta, Mother Teresa.
Yeah, Mother Teresa.
St. Teresa. And she, you know, whether somebody says, well, you know, she was there to evangelize or this or that, but she had she just said, summed it up beautifully. And she said, if we are in the business of judging, then we cannot serve.
Right.
We cannot truly, genuinely serve. And I think that raises the challenge for all of us within the faith community of, are we here to serve, or are we here to judge, or are we to advance in a political agenda? And I think that you're right, that right now there's so much that's interwoven within the dynamics of what it feels like in this country would be the church, the Christian church. With the understanding that most of our faith partners are doing the work of service,
right.
But there are those entities out there that are really kind of thinking about, and America has been burdened by this for a very long time, which is the power over model. It's not the power with model. And so for most faiths to kind of really about the, you know, again, coming back to the Mother Teresa example, is if you're serving with, not serving over. But I think we have meditated in the soup of power so long that our, you know, somewhat of our faith journey looks perverted.
You know, you use the term serve. Mm-hmm. You know, it took me a while in my life to understand that that's who I am, a servant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a young boy, I was a servant. And yet you get a little older, you move away from that. Mm-hmm. But then when you go back to it, you realize nothing more important and nothing more valuable than being a servant. And everybody has the ability mm-hmm. to do that. And if we would all look at it from the perspective of, look, man, that's who we are, mm-hmm. there'd be no need for guns. Mm-hmm. There'd be no need for war, right? I mean, mm-hmm. there would be no need for separating ourselves the way we do. Mm-hmm. And the value of being that servant and what it means to your life and the meaning that it gives to you, you don't need letters behind your name to serve, right? Mm-hmm. Last time I checked,
yeah, no.
You don't need to have, you know, the most money in the bank to serve. You can be the poorest person on the earth But if you serve, if you're willing to serve, you're the wealthiest person.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, you know, when we think about service, it is obviously a tenet of the Sikh faith. It's a tenet of the Christian faith, the Jewish faith.
All of them, yeah, right.
Yeah, if you are, if you're front and center on service, you're speaking a universal language. And sometimes we don't speak the same language. Sometimes we, you know, again, like, but one knows when one is serving. Right. No, I know that about you, Earl, and just that your life has been guided by that. You know, you're not making it rich.
Absolutely not. You know?
But this is your service to the community to get out voices, to make sure that people are heard and that people have a voice.
You know, man, I right now my heart is heavy. It's always heavy when in the community where I live, the death that just goes on unabated, and we've got houses of worship on every corner.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not blaming the houses of worship, but we've got to do a better job of reaching people, right? I mean,
yeah.
And giving them the belief and understanding that the life is not about what you have, right? The gift of your life is not determined by, you know, what you have. And the most valuable thing that we do have is that gift of the life that we have.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
If we can get people to understand that.
For sure.
And where is that going to come from? That's not going to come from law enforcement. That's not going to come from education. That has to come from the spirituality, the spiritual community.
Yeah. You know, Earl, I wrote a book, and it's called The Gift of Our Wounds. And The Gift of Our Wounds really talks about what you're speaking of that, and really the like sort of thinking about our country and how much blood has been
shed.
Yeah, shed and still in the soil of much of where we are.
Right.
Right. And you do see it in communities who do have churches all over the place. One of the questions that I was posed when I came on the Interfaith Conference 4 years ago was, what is it that you want? And I said, I want the flawed. I want the hurting. I want the sexually abused. I want that person who feels shame in who they are to look at a church, a mosque, a synagogue, and to know that they belong. I said, right now, they don't feel like they belong. They don't even feel like they can go inside because people will talk about them.
That's true.
And they'll say something about them. But I want them to be in the front row, and I want them to be in the front pew, and I want them to be leading the sermons. And so I think that when we embrace ourselves as far as like the gift of our wounds, we've already embraced the healing journey. And those are the teachers that we need to be listening to as this world goes forward.
You know, we just keep seeing death everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, on the national, international, death has always been there. It's probably always going to be there, but nobody can mourn when death comes after you've lived a full life, right?
No.
The real question, the real issue is when death comes prematurely,
mm-hmm.
and for all the wrong reasons. And you are running the Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee, and you know, this is the time where I would think that the interfaith community would be the one place that can change and transform the neighborhoods and the communities, more so than anyone else, right?
Yeah.
We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. I'm joined by Mr. Party Kalika. Again, he is the director of the Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee. We'll be right back.